praise. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. For you alone are worthy of it all. Amen. Got a crick in my side. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we'll believe that the Lord will feed us today. Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, Margaret, welcome back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I listened to the sermon last week and everything, and you know, as I was sitting there this morning to deciding exactly what I was going to share today, I think it'll go partially along with what was said last week. So I'm just going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, we give you all praise, all glory, all honor. We lift and magnify you today, Lord. You are the only one worthy of praise today. And we just ask you, Father, to have your way. Pour yourself through me. Let this little simple word I'm going to share today just minister to hearts. As it goes out over the internet, maybe it just touched lives. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. For you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to start off and tell you this little joke, okay? There was a guy named Joe, and he finds himself in dire trouble. His business had gone bust, and he's in serious financial trouble. He's so desperate that he decides to ask God for help. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I heard that there were some answers to prayer last week, and I just want you to know that God's always listening, and your hot prayers, he especially listens to them, okay? Anyway, this guy named Joe, he finds himself in dire trouble. His business has gone bust, and he's in a serious financial trouble. So he's desperate that he decides to ask God for help. He begins to pray, God, please help me. I've lost my business, and if I don't get some money, I'm going to lose my house as well. Please let me win the lotto. Joe again prays, God, the lotto night comes, and somebody else wins it. Okay. Once again, Joe prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've lost my business, my house, and my car. He lost his car too. My wife and my children are starving, and I don't often ask you for help, and I've always been a good servant to you. Please just let me win the lotto this one time so I can get my life back in order. Suddenly, there was a blinding flash of light as the heavens opened, and Joe is confronted by the voice of God himself. Joe, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket. Sometimes we don't always move and do the little thing that God wants us to do, and then we cry and complain about not getting an answer to the prayer. And that's a funny little joke there about Joe not having a ticket, but yet he wanted to win the lotto. And you know, a lot of times, like I say, we have a tendency that we want to put God in this little box and we want to tell him what he should do and how he should do it. And sometimes there's things that we have to do to make it come to pass. You know, I'm going to share this with you. One time years ago, I was praying and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know my needs, you know. And I don't bring, when I have needs, I don't bring them to everybody. I take them to the Lord. And he knows my needs when I have them. And he's always never failed me yet. And I don't think he ever will fail me. And I prayed this certain prayer. And all of a sudden, this person calls me up and wants to start giving me money. And I told him, I said, well, you know, they wanted me to do something for them. And I said, well, I'll do that, and you don't have to give me no money. And they said, no, I want to give you some money. I said, well, I'd be glad to do that for you for nothing. No, I want to give you some money. And I shouldn't have been arguing with them. I should have realized it was God answering my prayer. But here I'm arguing with this person, basically telling them, well, I'll do that for nothing. You don't have to give me no money for that. No. Finally, they come out and said, I'm trying to bless you. And I said, so basically kind of come out and said, I'm trying to bless you, you know. And I said, well, okay. I said, but you don't really have to give me no money, you know. And you know what? If we're not careful sometimes, we miss God. Because just like Joe here, he hadn't bought a lotto ticket. He's asking God to let him win the lotto. Well, you know, his part was buying the ticket. If God so answered to let him win the lotto, then if you ain't got a ticket, you're not going to win for sure. You know. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that. I like that joke. I thought it was kind of funny. And it's true. It's true. You know. My mother one time, I've told you this story in times past. My mother one time, she had this car, and that when she would turn left, a lot of times it would die. And we took it to the shop and had them, and it was a nice car. And actually, I drove it during a blizzard all the way up to Columbus one time to go to a christening. Because I was going to be the godfather of this niece of mine, see. And I drove up there in a blizzard, and there was cars stalled all along the road and everything else. And my car wouldn't start. So she says, well, you take my car. And I took it, and I drove it all the way up there and made it up there good, and made it all the way back, and everything ran fine. Well, later on, it started acting up. And she told me, she says, well, I've been praying that God would fix it where I could get a car, you know. And I said something to my brother, and I've shared this with you guys before, but I'm going to share it again because it fits right into what we're saying here. My brother, when he was a kid, he told my mom, he said, Mommy, when I grow up, I'm going to buy you a Cadillac, you know. And a Cadillac didn't mean nothing to my mother, you know. A car is a car, you know what I mean. And anyway, so my brother's business was doing pretty good at that time. You know, it was pretty prosperous right then. And I told him, I said, you know, mother's car keeps stalling all the time. I said, when she turns left, and we put it in the shop and had them go over it, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. But when she'd make a left-hand turn sometimes, it'd just die right in the middle of the intersection or wherever she was. It didn't do it all the time. It was a sporadic thing. And sometimes those sporadic things are really hard to pinpoint because you got to catch it while it's doing it for them to really know where what's causing it. So anyway, to make the long story short, as I told him about it, he says, yeah, he says, that's bad. He says, that worries me too. I said, you know, I remember one time some little boy telling his mother he was going to buy her a Cadillac. When he and he looked at me real funny, and he says, well, you know, he says, I was going to buy my daughter a car, you know, because she needed a car. And he says, I guess I could just buy two of them, you know. And he was buying a Cavalier. It had a C, but it wasn't a Cadillac. It started with a C, but it wasn't a Cadillac. So anyway, she called me, she says, they called my brother Dub. His name was Wiley Lloyd, and they called him WL or W. And Dub, she says, that Dub, he called me, and he wants to buy me a car. She says, I can't let him buy me a car. I said, Mother, haven't you been praying and telling God you needed another car because your car wasn't working good? And she says, well, yeah. I said, well, God's trying to give you a car. I said, and she was a very proud person. You couldn't hardly give mother anything, you know. And I was pretty much like, I probably took after her more than any of the other kids. I was pretty much the same way. And she had told me one time, years and years ago, Brother Eddie asked me to speak on a Sunday. And I told him, I said, sure, I'd be glad to speak, Brother Eddie. Because I never did approach him. He always just would approach me and ask me to speak. And I think the main reason that the Lord had me do that was because Brother Eddie didn't always feel real comfortable with letting people get in the pulpit. And part of that came about because I think, it's a story as far as I know, when him and Audrey got married and went on their honeymoon, while he was gone, whoever was taking care of the church split the church and half the people left. So he was, and that might have been why the Lord had me never tell Brother Eddie if I wanted to speak. You know, and I never did. And God always opened the door anytime he gave me something anyway. And I never did. I had made a deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'll share whenever you want me to share. But you have to open the door. I'm not going to beat it down. And I'm not going to force my way through a door, you know. And I never had to ever tell Brother Eddie that I wanted to speak. So anyway, he'd tell me, he says, I'd like for you to speak Sunday, Oscar. And she said, can you do that? I said, sure, Brother Eddie. And this was one of the first or second times I'd spoke at church. Well, after church, you know, I think he was feeling a little, I don't know if he was feeling a little guilty about it or whatever, but he came over and says, here, Brother Oscar, I want to give you this money. I said, Brother, I don't want no money. I don't need no money for that. No, he says, I want you to take this money. I said, no. And he kept insisting. Finally, I said, okay. I said, but I don't really want this money. And I took it, you know. So I got home and I was talking to my mom. This is before this thing happened with the car. I was talking with my mom and I said, that Brother Eddie, I said, I felt like the Lord gave me something to share. And I said, Lord opened the door, Brother Eddie come and asked me to speak. I said, and he tried to give me some money. And I said, I didn't want to take that money. And she says, son, she says, someday the Lord might put you out there to where you have to live off of donations that come in from people. And she says, you might as well learn to just to be obedient and thank the Lord, and it came from the Lord, you know. And I said, well, okay. I mean, she was kind of rebuking me, you know, for acting that way. And here I repeated that story to her about when God was trying to give her the car. And she says, well, I guess I have to take that car. And I said, yeah, you do. And she took the car. And he bought her the car, and he paid for it, you know. And she had it until she wasn't driving very well. And, you know, her mother only had eyesight in one eye. She couldn't see out of one of her eyes. And something had happened to her when she was a kid or something. She could only see out of one eye. She could see light but not really focus out of that other eye. She had single vision, and I think she had spiritual single vision on top of that. And that was one reason why I feel like she was so wise, because not only was she had single vision in the natural, but she also had it spiritually. And anyway, so she took the car. So she told me, says, okay, she says, I remember telling you that. She says, so I guess it's the Lord giving me the car. And I said, that's right. You say, thank you, Lord, and take the car and let go on. So you can tell him thanks for buying the car, but realizing it's coming from the Lord. So anyway, I want you to know that anytime God opens a door for you to do anything, he wants you to step through the door relying on him. And don't be so proud that you're not willing to take whatever he sends your way. And I had to do that, you know, and I really didn't want to do that. But I felt like, you know, here I'd been praying a little bit and saying, Lord, you know my needs. you know all about it. And here he started blessing me. And anyway, I need to get a Kleenex here. My nose is running a little bit today. And anyway, you know, I learned a lesson there. When somebody wants to give me something now, I don't always expect anything, but if somebody wants to give me something, I just say, well, thank you, Lord, you know, because I feel like the Lord feels like I got a need, and he always meets the needs. So anyway, that little story there, I wanted you to realize sometimes you have to do something. Now, I could have stood back and said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that money. I'm not going to take that money. And you know what? If I'd have really been listening in the Spirit, I'd have heard God say, well, didn't you tell me you had a need? And I'd have had to say, well, yes, Lord. But see, I realized that when I said something to my mother, she said, because I told her, I said, I'm gonna give that money back to him. She said, no. She said, you need to keep it. And so I did. But anyway, I just wanted you to understand that sometimes there's a part that we have to do to fulfill what God's trying to do in our life. And the title to my sermon today is Press On. And I'm going to read this to you. And I love this because I saw this on Facebook, and some of you all might have seen it, and I pulled it off of Facebook. But it's talking about, it says, these beautiful, it's got a picture of these people. It says, these beautiful people left Islam and got baptized. Over 1 million Muslims in Iran have given their lives to Jesus. Wow. In recent years. There's such a great revival that 50,000 of the 75,000 mosques in Iran have closed. Many are saying they're having dreams and visions of Jesus. Praise God. And I did a little research on that, and they won't tell you how many mosques there is in Iran. Because, I mean, well, you know, Clyde, we were Googling some stuff back there today. And if you want to know something, you usually ask Google and you can find out, because Google compiles all this information. And they, Google basically said they won't tell you how many mosques there are over there. But according to this article here, 50,000 of them have closed. So that would mean there's only about 25,000. Now, they did say that some people think there's about 50,000 of them or whatever, or this or that, but they don't really know. But said these people were having visions of Jesus. And I did a little bit of checking on it too, if you were allowed to have a Bible in Iran. And they said no. Now, they know there's Christians there, and they don't bother them, you know, but they won't let them have Bibles. And they said the people who have Bibles, it's just very rare, and they're very cherished, you know. And we were talking about, so those all of those million people, where are they getting the word from? Straight from the Lord. Straight from the Lord. So, you know, Scripture says that we are God's epistle, read and known of men. And I just want you to know, sometimes you look at the Middle East and you look at all the stuff that's going on in those places, and I've been hearing, and I don't know if this is true, so I can't verify it anyway, but I've been hearing a lot of the people over in Israel have been having visitations where they've been seeing God, they've been seeing Jesus, they've had angel visitations and a lot of things like that. God's doing some mighty things in the earth. So don't think, when you hear about all that war and stuff over there, it's not as out of control as you think it is. God's doing a mighty thing, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Okay, now I'm going to get into the sermon here. That's just a little bit of information I wanted to throw at you this morning. In Philippians 3:13 through 15 says this, and I'm going to pause for a word of prayer again. Father, in Jesus' name, just pour yourself through this word. Minister to hearts as they hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do. And you know, there is some things that you have to do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The past is the past. Let the past go, other than if God gives you a way of ministering something you learned out of the past. But let it go other than that. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as be mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He'll let you know that you're supposed to forget about those things and you're supposed to press into Him. You know, I was thinking about this old gospel song, and Charlene, I've heard her sing this song different times. But I love the words. I'm not going to read the whole words. I'm just going to read a couple lines of it. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The second verse says this, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that should be the prayer of our heart every day. Let me move up a little higher in you today, Lord. You know, in Psalm 91, 9 through 16 says this, Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. Thou shalt trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And you know, I know that part of that is talking about Jesus, but it's also talking about you. And I want you to understand that. You know, in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, it says this, Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that word for due time there is a word that means a fixed and definite time. There's a fixed and definite time in God for everything. He knew exactly the day he was going to get a hold of you. He knew exactly the day he was going to start revealing his truths to you. He knew everything he was going to do. There's nothing catches God by surprise. And he knew exactly what he was going to do with you and when he was going to do it and how he was going to do it. You know, years ago, I know a lot of people have been going through a lot of things. You know, Clyde's had some surgeries and stents and different things. And, Kathy's been having a lot of problems, and I know all of us have had some problems. Sam's had problems, you know, and the Lord's touched his life. And you guys, I mean, everybody in here seems to have had something going on where God has just touched you, especially Debbie back there. You know, you're going to get some surgery this week, you know. But I want you to know, the Lord gave me this poem years ago, and I think it's appropriate for what's going on. He says, I will not give you more than you can bear. That's the name of the poem. When life seems to crowd in on every side and your problems seem more than your share, just remember, I will not give you more than you can bear. When the answers you are seeking seem so distant and far away, continue to seek me and continue to pray. Just know that I'm with you and that truly I do care. I will not give you more than you can bear. When the burden is heavy and of a crushing weight, that you've not given it to me, it's never too late. I will not give you more than you can bear. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you will only trust me, I will give you flight. I will not give you more than you can bear. And the flight meaning that he can raise you on eagle's wings and give you a vision of what he's actually doing in the situation. Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, a lot of times we don't have what we pray for because we don't really believe that we've received them. Do you know everything that Jesus did on Calvary when he said it was finished? It was already finished. He knew all of the prayers that you were going to pray in your lifetime before you were ever born. He knew that the answer, we used to sing that song, the answer is already on the way. Jesus said it, I believe it. That makes it so. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we pray. And you can rest assured the answer's on the way. Wow. We need to start believing these things. And we need to start standing in these things. And start thanking him ahead of time that we believe we've received what we've been praying about. You know, God's been answering a lot of prayers. He has. But, you know, sometimes we find ourselves... I heard somebody say that, you know, Kathy back in the Sunday school class last week was a little discouraged, you know, because she's had a rough time. I mean, she has. That girl seems like every time she turns around, she's having to go back and have something else done. But you know what? God knows all about that. And when she gets on the other side of this, as she trusts him, she's going to have a tremendous testimony, tremendous testimony. And she's going to have a faith and an assurance that she can touch other people's lives with that faith, you know. Luke 6:27-28 says this, but I say unto you who hear, I'm going to read that again, but I say unto you who hear, he that hath an ear, hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, you can't do that without his help. But you have to be willing to do it. You have to be willing to say, Lord, help me love that one that is unlovable in my sight. You know, I told you what Jimmy Carter said about the evangelist. He said this guy was always bringing people to the Lord. He said, and I asked him, what's your secret? You know, you just seem to be able to get people to give their lives to the Lord whenever you're dealing with anybody. He said, my secret is this. I love the one standing in front of me. That's it, folks. That's simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's that simple. But what we have to do is ask the Lord to let the love of God flow out of us to whoever we're dealing with. Matthew 5:44-45 says this, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why you want to do that? That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today as a simple little sermon. But I tell you what, when we start doing these simple little things, we're going to see mighty things start to happen. And I'm not saying you aren't doing them already, you know, but I'm just saying sometimes we need to be reminded of some of these things. We need to be reminded that we're not supposed to hate anybody. We're not supposed to hold grudges with anybody. We're supposed to ask the Lord, Lord, take this away from us, you know, because with what judgment you judge, it'll be meted back to you. And we know that he's been very merciful to us. He showed us tremendous love and tremendous forgiveness. And when he took the sins of the whole world, he took all of your sins. And at times you fell short even. He knows when you fall short. But when he gives you a word like this, what he's saying is, don't wallow in that shortness. Begin to say, Lord, I don't want to feel hard toward that person. I don't want to hate that person. I want to show love to that person, you know. And I tell you what, when we start asking the Lord to give us a love even for our enemies, you know, oh, I tell you, I love that some of the stories in the Old Testament. I love that time when the Syrians surrounded Elijah, you know, they surrounded him. And Elijah's servant, man, he was shook up. And he knew the Lord. He'd been with Elijah. You know, he was his servant. He was with him all the time. He knew God did mighty things. And he said to him, Master, he said, don't you care? We're going to perish. Look at these armies. They've got us surrounded. And what did Elijah say to him? There's more with us than it's with them. God, I pray that his eyes be opened. And boy, when them eyes get opened, and that's what we need to start praying. Lord, open the eyes of, we've sang that, I believe, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We've sang that many, many times. And we have to start believing that he's going to open the eyes of our heart. And when he opens the eyes of our heart, what we're going to do is start showing love to people, forgiveness, restoration. We're going to begin to be restorers of the breach in people's lives. Because that's what he's really calling us to do. And you know, anytime that we come in contact with somebody and they're hurting, we should ask the Lord, Lord, bless that person. Lord, minister to that person. Use me, use somebody else. Whatever you decide to do, it's okay. But get willing to do it. Get willing to buy the lotto ticket. Sometimes you got to buy the lotto ticket, see. Instead of just praying that somebody else do it, you got to do something sometimes when God's showing it to you. Praise God. All right, one more scripture. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that word for due time means a fixed and a definite time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. God bless you all. And maybe this word's not for all of you. It might not be for all of you. I don't know. But it's for somebody. If it's out there, it's for, but I believe it's for everybody, because I'm going to tell you what, I think we need to do the simple things. As that we do the simple things, we'll find that God will move us into the greater things. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Praise your name, Father. Father, we pray for even those that seem to be our enemies. We pray for Iran. We pray for Iraq. We pray for the Middle East, all of the things that are going on over there. God, you can move in a mighty, mighty way and bring forgiveness and salvation. And you know, you can bring those wars to a halt anytime you so desire. I ask you to just move and have your way. Let everybody who has a part in bringing that about, give them the wisdom and the love and the understanding to even know how to move in those situations. And I just give you all praise and glory, and us in America today, Father. Let us love those that you put in front of us, whether they're lovable or not. And just know, Father, that you love them. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in you should not perish but have everlasting life. Didn't send him into the world to condemn the world, but to set them free, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.